Your County, bringing you the latest from North Yorkshire County Council on DAB every Sunday afternoon from 1. And listen again at strayfm.com. For more information, visit northyorks.gov.uk.
Welcome to this week's Your County on Stray FM. I'm Patrick Dunlop, and coming up on the show, find out why the County Council has been rated as one of the best local authorities in Britain. Also, we speak to youngsters who like a good debate, and we hear about the special fostering service for teenagers.
Your County with North Yorkshire County Council.
A charity's named North Yorkshire County Council as one of the best local authorities in Britain for tackling homophobic, biphobic and transphobic bullying and celebrating difference in its schools. Stonewall, Britain's lesbian, gay, bi and trans equality charity, has published its Education Equality Index 2016, listing the top 10 local authorities, with North Yorkshire County Council coming in fifth position. We've been speaking to Sarah Rose, who's from the charity.
So this is the sixth year that we've run the Education Equality Index. This year, 50 local authorities from across England, Scotland and Wales took part in it, which makes it our most competitive ever and the highest number of entrants that we've ever had. Basically, what local authorities have to do is answer 21 questions based around what they as a local authority do internally, what they do with schools and what they do in the wider community.
So North Yorkshire County Council is placed fifth in your top 10. Why is that?
So North Yorkshire County Council has been working with us for a long time and has some amazing guidance that it has for schools around supporting lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans young people, as well as specific guidance on supporting trans young people as well. It has an amazing partnership group which is leading this work, so it's not just one person within the local authority leading on the work. There's a number of people who come together to talk about lesbian, gay, bisexual and bi, trans young people. They've offered an extraordinary amount of training this year to schools, to early years practitioners and also within the local authority. I was very privileged to come to North Allerton and help train 21 LGBT champions who are going to go out and support lesbian, gay, bi and trans young people within the districts, but also offer support to their colleagues as well around LGBT issues, which is going to be an absolutely fantastic resource. We've also seen a huge increase in the number of youth groups in North Yorkshire, so there are now six. And of course, we've seen the Growing Up in North Yorkshire survey data being used to extraordinary lengths to promote and make sure that the voices of LGBT young people are heard, and have engaged with elected members using that survey data, and that's created a change within North Yorkshire in terms of the support that they are now able to give to lesbian, gay and bi, trans young people.
And just how vital is it that schools understand these issues?
It's hugely vital. We know from our survey data that 23% of lesbian, gay and bi pupils have tried to commit suicide, and 27% of trans young people have tried to commit suicide. So there are real mental health vulnerabilities for lesbian, gay, bi, trans pupils, which I think North Yorkshire are taking incredibly seriously and putting in a whole swathe of practical support for them.
Your County. For more information, visit northyorks.gov.uk.
Staying with schools, North Yorkshire's primaries are getting a glowing report. Over 90% of children are now in good or outstanding schools. County Councillor Arthur Barker tells us more about it.
It's really good news that we've got so many of our schools that are good or outstanding. They've been increasing over the months and last year or so, and we've now got 91.3% of our primary school children who go to a good or outstanding school, and that compares to a national average of 87.6%. So we're very pleased with that, but we are working to improve that, and our aim is to reach a position where all our schools are good or outstanding.
Yeah, as with anything like this, when you get a good school report, it's extra pressure to keep that standard and raise the bar even further, isn't it?
Yeah, but people across North Yorkshire are working to ensure that that is the case, that they keep the standards where they are and improve their standards. those skills that are currently rated good will be working towards making themselves outstanding skills. So there are people working both in skills, head teachers and governors, and also at North Yorkshire's skill improvement team, helping to assist them in doing that. So there is a concentration on skill improvement, which is paying dividends.
Which particular areas are you particularly pleased with?
I mean, the latest position on good or outstanding skills and pupils who attend good or outstanding skills is good across the board. I mean, our secondary skills, we have 86.9% our secondary skill pupils go to good or outstanding secondary skills. So that compares very, very well with the national picture, which is less than 80%. So there are reasons to congratulate the people working in skills and working in education across Yorkshire on a number of fronts.
So areas for improvement, things which are being worked on at the moment, could you just tell us about those?
Yes, of course I can. In primary skills, there are a couple of areas that we're working on that we've identified need a little bit of extra work. One of those is Key Stage 2. The SATs for Key Stage 2 weren't as good as we would have liked them to be, or as some of the schools would have liked them to be. So that's one area, although SATs this year will be based on a slightly different assessment, so can't be compared directly with previous years. But the other area that we're working on is closing the attainment gap between those children from less privileged backgrounds compared with most children across North Yorkshire, so that we ensure that all children attain to the best of their ability. And we're working very hard to ensure that we close that attainment gap.
Your County with North Yorkshire County Council.
Now, one primary school in Harrogate has been rated as outstanding for a slightly different reason, the debating skills of its pupils. Children from Rossett Acre took part in a county-wide competition and were named the winners. We join them in class to discuss a very hot topic, climate change.
Janet Hickman, I'm assistant head and year 5 teacher at Rossett Acre Primary School. We came to be involved because the council sent us an invitation to participate in a regional heat of a debating competition. The theme was whether the climate was changing, which linked in with our theme of our wonderful world. And then we decided we'd go along and compete in the competition. We prepared in class. We did a unit of work of persuasive writing and discursive writing. And we practiced debating and practiced debating skills with the children. And then the children went away and researched climate change and came up with whether they would argue for or against the climate changing. And they produced some amazing pieces of writing. It was very difficult to then decide which ones would go forward to the regional final.
And from your point of view, why is it so important to practice the art of debating?
The art of debating is a real skill in itself. It's all about self-esteem and self-confidence. It fits in with our citizenship. It's part of our democratic rights to be able to debate issues. And also it fitted in very well with our English units. It gave their writing some purpose because they were actually debating on an issue that was meaningful to them.
Right, and we've got some of our winning pupils here. First of all, before we get into the debate itself, just let's have a quick chat with the for and against. So we'll go for the for. Your name?
Poppy.
Right, and what are you going to be arguing?
For.
Right, okay. And your name?
Mia.
Right, that's great. And you're going to be?
Arguing against.
Great. Right, well, you take it away. You start the debate when you're ready.
Hello, my name is Poppy and I'm here today to make a difference. I will be speaking on behalf of the for argument because I believe that our climate is changing. Together as a united community, everyone needs to change their ways, and not just us in this room, but the whole world too. First of all, I have one question. If we all played our part in making our world a better place, do you think we'd be here today debating this issue? This is surely proof that humans are the main cause of climate change. According to eSchool Today, one in six species are at risk of extinction due to this major problem. Examples of these are the polar bear, the mighty sun bear, and the hermit crab. Put yourself in their paws. Have you noticed that our weather has become more and more unpredictable? The snow in the UK is falling a lot less than it has in recent years. We hear tales from our parents and grandparents of the cold, heavy winters, whereas we are lucky to see a few snow flurries in random months of the year. From 1900 to 2009, the global temperature has risen by 1 degree. This might not seem like much, but imagine if we carry on like we do. What will the temperatures increase to in the next 5, 10, 15 years? The counter-argument may debate that we mistake climate change for the seasons of summer or winter. So how do we explain the shift in season pattern that now differs from the annual calendar? For example, winter is supposed to be from December to February. However, we have all experienced heavy snowfall in April, which sees our spring flowers and other nature suffer under the changes of climate. Okay, we all have different opinions on this subject, but we are all here today to debate the same question. Is climate change a reality? From the overwhelming evidence, climate is changing, and we could not ignore it. We can all make a difference from walking to school to recycling household litter. Like I said at the beginning, I'm here today to make a difference. Just take a minute and think, if the world could speak, what would it say? Thank you.
Is the climate changing? This is an issue which has caused much discussion. Is it the biggest environmental crisis ever, or is it the greatest scam in history? It is not a big threat. John Coleman, who co-founded the Weather Channel and has been studying this topic seriously for years, stated that the polar ice caps have increased in volume by a staggering 50% since 2012, so are not melting away. He also says that polar bears have increased in numbers and storms and heatwaves have diminished in numbers. Although at first you may think climate change is a threat, people are often exaggerating the damage. An example of this is that the climate model calculations used to predict the effect of global warming have been proven to be flawed, which means that the long-term predictions are meaningless. For example, Al Gore, a politician and environmentalist, predicted that all Arctic ice would be gone by 2013, which is clearly not the case. Scientists are also exaggerating the threat of carbon to marine life. Ben Webster, an oceans correspondent, wrote an article on this recently. He said that hundreds of studies tell us that ocean acidification will kill coral reefs, but many studies use flawed methods, subjecting marine creatures to sudden increases in carbon dioxide that would never happen in reality. On the other hand, some scientists believe that climate change is a threat. They say that sea levels rose 19 centimetres in the last century and that apparently 2% of coral reefs were killed last year. Worryingly, there are more greenhouse gases in our Earth's atmosphere than any other time in human history. Having considered the scientific viewpoints from both sides, I've concluded that climate change is a grossly over-exaggerated topic and is not a big threat. I believe that global warming is just a natural occurring shift in climate temperature. Thank you.
We've heard from both sides, so questions from the floor.
This is for against, and you said that some scientists believed that the climate change was a threat. Could you name any of these?
Al Gore does. He's the 42nd Vice President of the United States, so he's quite high up, and he's just one of the many.
This is for four. Can you name four of the gases that may be affecting our planet?
CO2, greenhouse gases, fossil fuels and burning coals, which is making our planet warmer.
This is for against. If in the Arctic the ice is increased by 50%, then how do you explain floods in our area and rise in sea level?
Well, rise in sea level is actually due to thermal expansion. So because this is basically where it's the heat actually makes the water like expand and it makes it go up. So it's not actually ice melting, creating more water. It's the heat.
This is for against. In your speech, you mentioned the fact that scientists are over-exaggerating the threat. Do you think the fact that the Arctic region may have its first completely ice-free summer by 2040 is flawed? And how could you prove that it's flawed?
Well, you cannot make long-term predictions because how are you supposed to know what's going to happen in the 100 years? I can't predict who's going to win this debate, so how can people predict what's going to happen in the next 30 years? Sorry.
This is for against. You mentioned that Al Gore's predictions were flawed, but does this mean that other scientists' information will be flawed as well?
Well, that was a example, because I said for example. So when I say for example, I mean that there are many other people. And as I said before, you can't make predictions. So it's So it's very obvious that a lot of them will be flawed as well.
Thank you very much. Well, a very interesting debate. And back to your teacher, what did you think of this debate?
I think the children being able to think on the spot is very impressive. To be able to listen to a speech and pick out a salient point and make reference to it, I think is a real skill. I'm very impressed with the standard of English that's come out of this, both spoken and written. As you can see, I think they've all quite enjoyed this experience.
Your county. For more information, visit northyorks.gov.uk.
I've got two sons and I'm fit.
I'm disabled and I'm fit.
I broke a few laws when I was younger, but I'm fit.
I own my own home and I'm fit.
I live in rented accommodation and I'm fit.
I'm unemployed and I'm fit.
Do you have the skills and commitment to provide a caring home? Whoever you are, if you're fit enough to care for a child or teenager, you could be fit to foster. You could bring much-needed stability and support to vulnerable children and young people.
I'm gay and I'm fit.
I'm retired, but I'm fit.
Foster carers come in all shapes and sizes, from all walks of life. We encourage diversity, so now's the time to find out where you fit in.
I'm divorced, and I'm fit.
To find out whether fostering and you make a perfect fit, visit the Fostering North Yorkshire website. Choose to foster. Change a life.
Your County is brought to you by North Yorkshire County Council, keeping you up to date with the latest from across North Yorkshire.
Next up, do you use cloud storage for your phone, tablet or computer? If so, North Yorkshire's Trading Standards Service has some important advice to avoid problems further down the line. Here's Jo Boutflower from the team.
The government has actually just done some research into the terms and conditions that are being used by cloud account providers and found that some of them are very unfair. There's things like they can terminate the account and you lose access to all your photographs and music and documents and whatever, which obviously people don't want to do. So we're just warning people to make sure that if they want cloud storage, do your research. Again, make sure that the provider that you're using is providing you with the product that suits your needs. So, for example, if you want to exchange documents with somebody else, you need to find the sort of cloud service that does that. If you just want to store your photographs, then try and work out how much storage you might need and work out what's the best value for you in terms of the capacity of storage that you need. Other tips are things like making sure that you log in periodically, because sometimes providers close accounts down if you haven't logged in regularly, and again you would then lose access to your photographs or music or whatever, so make sure you do log in. Make sure your email address is up to date on the system. You can go in and update your contact details just in case the provider needs to contact you with, say, a change to your terms and conditions, or maybe to renew the service. And that's another important thing to remember, is if you buy this service, it will renew every year. And if you want to keep it and you want to keep access to your music, your photographs, etc., then you need to make sure that you have up-to-date payment details registered with the provider as well.
And another thing, I know I've been caught out with this before, when you buy a tablet, for instance, they will often try and sell you that extra cloud storage free for a year, but then that year comes and goes and then you have money taken out of your account because you've ticked a box or you've given your bank details. So I guess if you don't want that cloud storage and paying for it, you need to make sure you sort of keep an eye out for that.
Absolutely. Again, look at the terms and conditions, understand what you've agreed to. A lot of these things do auto-renew in the way that, say, software and virus protection does as well. Every time it does renew, you have 14 days to cancel. So even if the company may tell you that you're tied into that contract, just be aware that if you have just let it auto-renew and you're within 14 days, you can still cancel that agreement.
Mm-hmm. And because the internet, you have to be so wary of what's on it now. I suppose you have to make sure when you're buying cloud storage that you're getting it from the right place, a bona fide place.
Yes, again, do some research, lots of information online there, review sites and chat forums and that sort of thing, where you can find out what's a reasonable place to use, and make sure that you compare the terms. You mentioned that you maybe sometimes get a year's free supply of cloud storage. Some of the things that we hear about are you get so much storage for free, and if you go over that limit, you then incur a charge, and people are sort of inadvertently getting charges, maybe because their tablet is automatically uploading photographs to the account when they're using it. So again, just understand what you've signed up to and and maybe change your settings on your tablet so it doesn't auto-upload photographs to the account as well. There is more information about cloud storage on the government website, which is gov.uk. There's a sort of infographic on there and a 60-second guide. So if people go onto gov.uk and search cloud storage, they can find some useful information.
And another thing we've covered in the news quite a lot in the past is nuisance phone calls and what's being done to tackle them. Just tell us where we are with that at the moment. What rights people have?
Well, people are probably familiar with the fact that they can register their landline with the telephone preference service, and that prevents calls from UK-based sales and marketing companies. Ofcom now also run telephone preference for mobiles, and you can actually register your mobile just by sending a text. So we just wanted to make people aware of the fact that they can do that. All they need to do is text TPS to 78070, and they need to text their email address as well, just for verification purposes, and within 28 days that should prevent sales and marketing calls to their mobiles.
And is that something that you're getting quite a lot of contact about, nuisance calls, and what people can do to stop it?
We do. I think it's one of those things that just irritates people, isn't it, constantly, whether it's your landline. And I've certainly noticed an increasing number of these sorts of calls on my mobile. And it does just get in the way of whatever you're doing, doesn't it, if your phone's constantly ringing and then it's not somebody that you particularly want to talk to. So we don't certainly advise people to register their phones. The other thing that I just want to suggest that people do is have a look on the Which website, Which, the consumer magazine. I've actually got a good online guide to how you can report different types of phone problems. So things like spam texts, abandoned calls, silent calls, all that sort of thing. Different places to report them all to. So have a look on the Which website and then you'll know where to go for some more advice.
Your County with North Yorkshire County Council.
There's a particular need for more people to come forward and foster teenagers in North Yorkshire. As part of a service called No Wrong Door, the young people are looked after in a family setting linked to residential hubs in Harrogate and Scarborough. Janice Nicholson is residential and edge of care manager.
From our traditional children's homes in North Yorkshire, we've developed a really innovative service. So we're developing on those sort of traditional services and adding to them. And part of that is that we're having a number of family placements and supported lodgings hosts sort of that work around the children's homes and that have the same kind of training, the same kind of support, that they've got a number of key people that they can sort of tap into. And that includes things like clinical psychology, speech therapy, supportive police roles. So all sorts of kinds of different placements that can help give a young person a much better start in life.
And it's quite a difficult period of your life anyway when you're sort of 16, 17, and it's that transition from being a child to an adult. And so it's important to have that sort of service if you are used to being in a fostering environment.
Absolutely. We want to make it so that it isn't sort of a young person coming off a cliff edge. We want them to have as much more of a seamless transition. We want them to be skilled up in as many of the areas that we can for them so that they can get employment, that they can sort of achieve in life. And part of the way that we're working differently is that a young person in the No Wrong Door model is given a key worker, and that key worker can stick with them even if they move on from the children's home or from the foster placement into adult life, up to 25 if needed. And not everybody will need that by any means, but for some young people who don't have that family support behind them, that's a really, really important part of the model that we're delivering.
Are you seeing more demand for the No Wrong Door project as well?
We have quite a consistent demand for the work that we're doing. We have a number of residential placements, like I've already said, and our associated placements. But we also work with a lot of young people, adolescents that are on the edge of care, perhaps. So there are a lot of difficulties in the families. There might be sort of things that have gone in their background that have caused problems for them. Things might come to a head in the adolescent years, which does in ordinary families, you know, those feelings are all heightened. So that there is a lot of things going on. So we can try and support families and young people out there in the community as well, so that they don't need a family placement. So that works really valuable as well.
So I'm guessing you always need more families to come forward to help provide homes for these young people.
We do, because what we've found is that for some families that they want to become more mainstream foster carers, for example, so they might not want to continue in this role because they want to work with younger children, for example. So there's always going to be a reasonable sort of throughput, if you like, of people that are working with the adolescent age range. But we provide an awful lot of support to them. They're absolutely part of the No Wrong Door team. So, you know, and there's a lot of support available to them as well, because children's home staff are around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so that there's always somebody to talk to for some advice and support.
Also important to point out that anyone who does get involved in this project, it doesn't actually have to cost them anything personally, does it? They do get help with that.
They do, and for our No Wrong Door Hub Community Families, which is the foster placement side of it, they do get a payment of £459 a week and an age-related allowance as well. So that equates to a salary sort of £34,000 to £36,000 a year. And for our supported lodgings host, which is for those 16 and 17 year olds that need less support but still need that home in somebody's house, a room, somebody to help them with budgeting and living skills, things like that, that's £280 a week, and there's a lesser expectation time wise on that role, and people could have a part-time job, for example, or do other work and do that as well. And the other thing that we do is we want to really, really get carers to get to know young people, spend some time building up that relationship, because you've got much more chance of getting it to work then. So that is something that we really focus our time on as well. And we ask our carers to have a relief contract, come and do some pieces of work, for example, on activities or in the children's home, to start to build up relationships with young people so they know each other before they move in.
Anyone who would like to get involved in the project or find out more about it, how can they do that?
Okay, well, we've got a website, that's www.northyorks.gov.uk/no-wrong-door, or I can be contacted on 01609 535695.
Your County, bringing you the latest from North Yorkshire County Council on DAB every Sunday afternoon from 1, and listen again at strayfm.com. For more information, visit northyorks.gov.uk.
Just a couple of things to let you know about. Harrogate is hosting the Great Yorkshire Run next Sunday, which will mean some road closures in the town. There'll be traffic diversions in place, and most of the affected roads should reopen at around 1 p.m. For safety reasons, all parking bays on Montpellier Hill, Royal Parade and St Mary's Walk will be suspended on the 24th of July. You can get more road closure information at greatrun.org. Elsewhere, North Yorkshire's libraries are running a summer reading challenge. It aims at children aged 4 to 11. Many libraries are holding themed events during the summer holidays to encourage children to take part. You can find out more at your local branch. Meanwhile, Bilton and Woodfield Community Library in Harrogate is hosting free stop-motion animation workshops. Dawn Feather will help participants animate their own scene inspired by a Roald Dahl book. Children and adults are all welcome to take part. You can choose from one of 8 workshops taking place on Wednesdays throughout August. For more information and to book your place, please contact the library on 01423 564 630 or email info@biltonandwoodfield.org.uk.
Your County is brought to you by North Yorkshire County Council, keeping you up to date with the latest from across North Yorkshire.